Welcome to Island Time. Welcome to Island Time for September 2006. This month, my son and I go in search of plume nose anemones. We make jelly from Oregon grapes and salal berries. And we have three soundscapes, including the first rain of fall. All this coming up on Island Time. On Island Life, we like to give you a taste of what it's like living here on Bowen Island. And so we introduce a series of Bowen Moments. We'll play a number of these in each episode of Island Life. They're about 1 minute long audio soundscapes of life on Bowen Island. Our first Bowen Moment for this episode is a Saturday morning at Coco West, Bowen Island's artisan chocolatier. Coco West is in Artisan Square, which is a bit of a hubbub of activity, and especially on a summery Saturday morning when people are coming in and buying ice cream and chocolate, hot chocolates and coffees from the organic chocolate makers of Joanne and Carlos. So here is a Bowen Moment at Coco West.
All right, chocolate and M&M. I'll have the same as Kathleen.
It's a tradition on many Gulf islands that when Labor Day rolls around, islanders will go down to the ferry dock and bid farewell as the mainlanders vacate the rock for the season. Although we have 8 months of winter to look forward to, it feels like there's a little bit more space once the fall rolls around. On Bowen, they used to celebrate this event by having men dress up as women and go down to the ferry dock and bid farewell to the ferries going back on Labor Day Monday. But the police put a stop to those antics a number of years ago. However, we still do mark the tradition, and 5 years ago I wrote a song to commemorate the last ferries that left for the summer. And the following recording is of Alice Bernards and I down at the Snug Cove ferry dock, wishing a fond farewell to the mainlanders leaving on the 3 o'clock ferry on Labor Day.
Full of cloud. For the next 8 months, we'll hide away and slowly go winter send its worst at us. Our island's ours again. Farewell to all you mainlanders. Welcome to the rain. So raise a cheer, the autumn's here. Our island's ours again. Farewell to all you mainlanders. Welcome to the rain. So raise a cheer, the autumn's here. Our island's ours again. Wow. Woo!
I'm at Mother's Beach, the shores of Deep Bay, and I'm just going to walk down to the water, which is very low tide today, and give you a sense of the soundscape on an August afternoon, with the wind blowing from the northwest and clearing out the rain that we've been having, and some crows and herons on the beach. And the sounds of some construction from Snub Point, from a house over there being built. So this is me walking across the pebbles, the rocks, and the barnacles towards where the crows are and all the way to the shore. Great things of living by the ocean, of course, is all the great stuff that lives in the ocean. And on the first day of fall, my son Finn and I went down to the Union Steamship Company Marina in Snug Cove to see if we could find the elusive plume-nose anemone. So I'm with Finn here at the Union Steamship Marina, and we're going down to the docks. Let's keep going, and we're going to go look for marine life right from the dock here. And what are we going to look for, Finn?
Anemones.
Mostly The kind we're going to look for is called plume-nose anemones, which are white ones that grow off of the on the pilings. And what do you see down there? We're looking at the first, just the first piling right here. If we look down there, what do you see?
Nothing.
Okay, there's, what are those fish?
Just fish.
You know what those are? Those are shiners.
And starfish.
Shiner surf perch. And starfish eating the mussels and off of the pilings. Right? So we've got ochre sea stars, and we've got shiner surf perch. What have you got under
ducks.
The dock? Ducks. So we've got ducks under the dock.
They just swam out.
Hello. Two mallard females. Okay, so that's three different species. Let's keep going. Maybe we'll see jellyfish. Aha! Come here. Look down there.
An anemone?
See far down?
Yeah.
What do you see?
Looks like some coral thing. Way deep down.
The white one?
Yeah.
That's a plume-nose anemone.
Really?
Yeah. But the thing to notice on the piling here, look, is you get up high, you get barnacles, right? In the intertidal zone. And then as you go down, you get mussels, and then right down, see where those starfish are?
Mm-hmm.
The starfish are about 4 feet below the surface. They're starfish and shiners, and they're eating the mussels off the pilings. And then down further, in the subtidal zone, that's where the tide never goes down there. What do you see down there?
Plume-nose anemone.
A plume-nose anemone. Cool. Let's see what other wildlife we can see from the marina here. Should we keep walking? Okay. Here. See here. Is there?
One plume nose anemone.
Look at this starfish here, though. I need your opinion on it. That one, what do you see?
It's orange. It's a sun star.
A sunflower star. So it's got 20 arms? That one?
Yeah.
Yes.
That is very odd.
That is very odd. It's climbing on the piling. I've never seen one on the piling. I've seen them on the floor of the ocean, not on the pilings before. So that's cool. There's another thing to add. Shall we continue?
Sure. Anemones everywhere.
That's cool.
And a starfish up out of the water.
Really?
Look.
Oh yeah, right there.
That's funny.
He's getting ready to fall back in. They can survive out of the water for quite a while. So this is the best piling so far we've seen, and this is on B float at the marina, right by the fire extinguisher, right near the end. So if you do want to come down here, there's a whole bunch of plume-nose anemones on this piling, and you'll see them.
Starfish just decided to come out of the water.
I'll bet by the time anybody hears this, that starfish will have moved on.
Big fish. Anemones going down. Look.
Big anemones.
Look.
What kind?
Plume-nose.
Oh yeah, they're growing. What are they growing on?
On that chain.
They are. They're growing on a chain that holds the
dock.
Yeah, that's anchoring the float with one of the little work sheds down here at the marina. That is cool. Look at them. They're beautiful.
And look, there's starfish hanging on.
Yeah. And look at this thing right here. What's that?
Kelp.
Yep, piece of bull kelp.
And look.
What?
There's some fish over there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's just make a summary of the species that we've seen just from the Union Steamship Company dock. What do we see down here?
Lots of plunos and anemones.
Yep.
Lots of starfish and lots of fish.
Two kinds of starfish?
Yep.
What kinds? We saw the ochre stars, of course.
Yeah.
And the sunflower stars?
We're just one.
And shiners? Just kind of surf perch. Bull kelp, a lot of pieces of bull kelp here. Bladder rack, mussels, and barnacles of different kinds. And two female
ducks.
Mallard ducks. There's a lot of stuff you can see just from coming down to the marina, hey?
Yeah.
Thanks.
That was some good one.
Yeah, that was fun. Our next Bowen moment in this episode is the transition between summer and fall here on Bowen Island. Fall begins a little bit early when the rains start to come and the drought ends, usually sometime in September. And what you're about to hear is 1 minute of audio from the first rainfall of September. In the season that we call salmon calling, this is the time when the creeks begin to fill up with fresh water, and that fresh water pours into the ocean so that the homecoming salmon, the coho and the chum that live here on Bowen Island, get a taste of the streams in which they were born and raised and head for home. So it's the salmon calling season now on Bowen, and this rainstorm on September 13th was the transition.
Cloudy day in quite a while, and I have Chris Corrigan here with a huge pot of what you got going there.
These are Oregon grapes that were picked from mostly around the cove. There's about, what'd you say, about 8 cups in there?
Yeah.
And we got them, let's see, we picked them various places around the cove. I want to give away all my best spots. But some of them were actually picked right outside Artisan Radio itself. And this pot over here, got another pot on the stove of Salal berries. These are actually last year's. And they were huge. It was a good crop last year, and I just had them in the freezer, so they should be fine. And we've covered them. There's about the same amount in there, too, eh? Eight
yep.
cups. And we've covered them in water, and we're just setting them on to boil. And we're going to make jelly out of them.
Great.
So this is local Bowen Island wild berry jelly.
So can you tell me a little bit about the difference between the two berries?
Okay.
So wanting to go out picking.
So salal are the we see salal everywhere. Grows all around the underbrush in the forest, and it has kind of shiny green leaves. It's an evergreen bush, And the berries are actually sepals. So they're flowers that they don't actually turn to fruit. They're flowers that where the petals swell with water and then they turn purple. And you can see them. Good picking time is towards the end of July and into August. And if it's not too dry, then they stay really large. These ones are actually quite big. They're about the size of small blueberries. And they are. A lot of people think they're poisonous, but actually they have been for thousands of years, probably one of the most important berry group on the coast here. People have been harvesting them for thousands of years and drying them either in the sun. Just traditionally First Nations people have done is to crush the berries into a paste and then just lay it out on planks and have it dry in the sun, and they will keep all year that way. You could also make a cold jam from it and a hot jam, and so we're going to make some jelly here, which is a more modern way of dealing with the berries. And then Oregon grapes are, probably see those around, they look like holly, the bushes. There's two kinds of Oregon grape, two varieties of the plant. There's a tall one and there's a low bush one, and the low bush ones tend to have rounder and fuller berries, and the high bush ones have small berries that are kind of shaped like little footballs. And you can see we've got a mix in here.
Yeah, those are definitely the ones that I spent my entire childhood thinking were deadly poisonous.
Yeah, most people think both of them are poisonous, actually. But you can make wine out of these grapes, these Oregon grapes, and they, again, were a real traditional food source, and they're really plentiful and they're really easy to pick. The salal berries are a little harder to pick, although the... because you can't just sort of strip them off the plant. You need to actually pluck them. But with the Oregon grapes, you can just strip them off the plant. It doesn't take much time at all to get them.
Yeah, so, I'm noticing a few little sticks floating around in the pot here.
Well, we're going to make some jelly, so we'll strain those out. That will be fine. Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem.
So tell me about your recipe.
So the recipe, well, you know, I just Googled, and I'm exploring... I'm exploring these recipes. These are prototypes. You take an equal amount of we want 4 cups of juice from both of these, and we'll add 4 cups of sugar and a box of pectin. That's it. And that ought to thicken up quite nicely, and then we'll put it in some smaller canning jars and process them, and we'll have ourselves some jelly for the winter.
Sounds good. Well, the pots are starting to steam here. And I can see the water turning kind of a dark purpley color.
Yeah, and both of them a little bit. Look at the color this one is like. Is this the salal berries give this kind of rich wine color.
Right, it's kind of a red burgundy
kind of a burgundy color. And the Oregon grapes, more of a purple, I think.
Yeah.
They look like blueberries. They have the same kind of look as blueberries.
They have that sort of beautiful, dusty, reflective
stuff
on the outside.
Yeah.
Right. So why don't we let it boil up a little, and we'll check back in with you when you're getting it into the jars.
Okay, cool. Okay, so I've just boiled up the salal, and I've made it... jarred it, and now I have a little bit for Anya to taste, and let's see what she thinks of the salal jelly.
It's really good.
What's the review?
It's definitely a lot better than the berries on their own.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Not everybody's a fan of the salal berry off the bush, although I am and Finn is, but some people would prefer it.
I'm not a fan of the salal berry on the bush, I have to say, and here I am going to try the jelly.
Okay, try.
Ooh, it's really good.
What does it taste like to you?
What does it taste like?
Blackberry-ish.
It has a slightly different taste than the blackberry. You can get the richness of the flavor without all the sort of woody seediness of the berry. Oh, Finn's going to try. Want to say what you think of it? What do you think of the salal berry jelly, Finn?
He likes it. But he likes it off the bush. He likes the berries right off the bush like me.
Yeah, I don't.
So that's a good review,
I'm all right. I'm all right with the berries
that
off
really
the bush.
That really is tasty.
But the jelly? How do you like the jelly?
The jelly's so good.
Okay. Well, let's finish up the Oregon grapes, and then we'll get a review of those, okay?
Now that one is going to be really trusting for me to stick my finger in there. I've just about had my head blown off. eating a raw one? Grape right off the bush.
Yeah, they're really bitter.
We put in 8 kilograms of sugar for the two of them.
Eight cups, okay.
8 cups of sugar for the two of them.
What do we do?
I put 6 cups of sugars in here because I had 6 cups of juice in the Oregon grapes.
Is this Oregon grapes?
That's the salal you're looking at over there. Okay, so we're done for now, and we'll come back with a review of the Oregon grape jelly in a few minutes. Okay, so you thought the salal was good, right?
I thought the salal was great.
All right, now.
Pleasantly surprised.
This is still a little bit hot, but you should be able to get a finger on there. This is the Oregon grape.
Oregon, look at that color. This is beautiful. It's gone much more of a sort of reddish color now.
Yeah.
Mmm.
It's good,
really
eh?
Good. Wow.
Surprising.
It's like it's got a... It's definitely not sour anymore. I mean, it was blow your head off sour before, but... It's definitely not sour anymore, but there's a nice sour aftertaste that's not too overpowering.
It's not really sweet. The salal have a lot of, I think, natural sugars in them, but not much natural sugar in Oregon grapes. But when you sweeten it up,
You get the flavor without...
Yeah.
And you get the sourness, but not in a shock. It's kind of starts off not sure if it's sour or not, and then my face slowly puckers, but not beyond the point of pleasantness.
Yeah, it's good, eh?
Thank you.
So there you go.
Delish.
Two... Jellies made from Bowen Island berries, salal and Oregon grape. And I'll put the recipes on my weblog, Bowen Island Journal. You can just Google Bowen Island Journal and you can find the recipes there. Ooh, it's really good. Okay, that's it for jelly making from Bowen Island berries. So we have time for this month on Island Time. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email me, chris@chriscorrigan.com, or you can Google Bowen Island Journal for more musings about life on Bowen Island. Island Time is produced by Chris Corrigan, Caitlin Frost, Anya McMoran Corrigan Frost, and Finn Corrigan Frost for Artisan Radio on Bowen Island in the beautiful Salish Sea of British Columbia, Canada. See you next month.